Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, what Prahlad learned in the womb. Learned quite a bit in the womb. And if we listen to Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his friends, we'll probably learn a lot, even though we're not in the womb yet. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, so 42. Sukhaya Dukkha Mokshaya. Sankalpa iha karmina tadapno tihaya dukham anihaya sukha vridha. Sukhaya, for achieving happiness by so-called higher standard of life. Dukkha Mokshaya, for becoming free from misery. Sankalpa, the determination. Iha, in this world. Karminaha, of the living entity trying for economic development. Not everyone seems to be convinced about that translation. Sada, always. Apnoti, achieves. Ihaya, by activity or ambition. Dukham, only unhappiness. Anihaya, and from not desiring economic development. Sukha, by happiness. Avrita, covered. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. Pretty amazing, isn't it? As soon as you make a plan to become happy, then that's when your distress begins. In other words, you can't win and you can't break even in the material world by material activities. Every conditioned soul is bound by the laws of material nature, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Everyone has achieved a certain type of body given by material nature, according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara sarvabhutanam Rideshorjana tishtati Brahmayan sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, is present in everyone's heart, and as the living entity desires, the Lord gives him facilities with which to work according to his ambitions in different grades of bodies. The body is just like an instrument by which the living entity moves according to false desires for happiness, thus suffers the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease in different standards of life. Everyone begins his activities with some plan and ambition, but actually from the beginning of one's plan to the end, one does not derive any happiness. On the contrary, as soon as one begins acting according to his plan, his life of distress immediately begins. Therefore, one should not be ambitious to dissipate the unhappy conditions of life, for one cannot do anything about them. Ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. Although one is acting according to false ambitions, he thinks he can improve his material conditions by his activities. The Vedas enjoin that one should not try to increase happiness or decrease distress. For this futile, tasyaiva heto prayatete kovido, one should work for self-realization, not for economic development, which is impossible to improve. Without endeavor, one can get the amount of happiness and distress which he is destined. One cannot change this. Therefore, it is better to use one's time for advancement in spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. One should not waste his valuable time, life as a human being. It's better to utilize this life for developing Krishna consciousness without ambitions for so-called happiness. Sukhaya dukkha mokshaya sankalpa iha karminaha sadapt no tihaya dukkham adnihaya sukhavritaha. This material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. For conditioned soul, this is almost inconceivable, what Krishna is talking about here. That as soon as you start trying to become happy in the material world by some material means, that's the beginning of your distress. People definitely think that this is unfair. What kind of cruel God would put someone in a position that naturally they want happiness, and as soon as they strive for happiness, they put themselves in distress. It seems that he must be a very cruel-hearted person who's arranged this universe. No chance of achieving happiness by trying for it. Not exactly true. Because one can achieve so-called happiness by trying for it, but one has to follow Krishna's directions. Simply one's endeavoring oneself for economic development, it will not be possible to so-called economically develop. Because the material nature is not controlled by one. And actual economic development doesn't mean to acquire pieces of paper and think one is rich. I was reading yesterday that by the manipulations of the asuras, and practically everyone's an asura nowadays, one asura is trying to manipulate for their happiness, another one's trying to manipulate against that person, or persons who are manipulating for their happiness, manipulating so their plan for happiness fails, which means their economic development for sense gratification fails, so their plan for economic development and sense gratification succeeds by defeating someone else's plans. So as we know here in Europe, there's a history of simply misery. Everyone's trying to, so many kings and empires have come and try to become happy. At least the kings and their relatives who try to become happy by exploiting everyone else. And ultimately they were defeated by someone else trying to exploit them to become happy. It's called dog eat dog. As soon as you become a big dog, there's another bigger dog, he wants to eat you. And so even if you get to become a big dog, you'll always be in anxiety that some other dog is coming to eat me. And therefore you can never be peaceful. Even when you're so-called enjoying, then all you can think about is how you're in danger. And this is exactly the same way that a person who's condemned to death, he's going to be killed the next day, electrocuted or hung or whatever else, and they offer him a nice meal, his last meal. One prisoner, he ordered like 42 preparations. And when they brought it to him, he said, "I'm not hungry." Therefore, the governor stopped offering prisoners their last meal. It's too expensive. Or he could have eaten the meal and said, I have a stomachache. Please don't kill me tomorrow. I want to die healthy. So, after World War I, when Germany was defeated, then the people who were victors, the same people who started the war, and they always claim the other side are the bad guys and we're the good guys, which is ridiculous because they're all bad guys. They're all thieves. As Prabhupada said, just like a group of thieves, they rob a bank, and then the head thief comes to the hideout. They all come to the hideout, and the head thief stands up and says, my dear fellow thieves, now that we've stolen all this money, please, please, I beg of you, please let us divide the money up honestly. So they're all thieves, and now they're claiming that they should become honest thieves. As soon as one steals Krishna's property, then one will be punished immediately. And what is that punishment? One is put into the material concept of life, to suffer old age, disease, and death. And not only that, but the very desire to be happy in the material world, called lust, kama. Krishna says, avritam jnana etena jnanino nityavarina kamarupena kuntia dusprena analena cha. That's a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied, and it burns like fire. So the so-called romance or love is simply anxiety, suffering. And we think it's love, but actually it's actually not love, it's lust. And if you tell people it's lust, of course nowadays people think, well, that's not so bad. Lust is good. And greed, well, if you're greedy, you steal from everyone, then the result is you become a very prominent person in society and people respect you. You're the biggest thief. We're little thieves and you're a big thief. So bow down to the little thief, to the big thief. Svavidra hosra karar samstuta purusha pashu yat karna patiyo peta jata namaka dagraja. That persons are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. They glorify the bigger dogs, camels, hogs, and asses. But they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kadagraja, who carries a club and is going to hit them over the head with it. Because they're demons, asuras. Now, of course, people object that why are you calling people hogs, dogs, camels, and asses? As Prabhupada used to say, well, we're not saying it. Krishna is saying it. And as followers of Krishna, we're simply repeating what he has to say. But not without good reason, because if one is in the bodily concept of life, who can't understand that he's an eternal spirit soul, and only works to gratify the senses, then he's exactly on the same level as a cow or an ass. He may have higher intelligence, he may have better ability to dominate the material nature, but the aim is the same. You may be able to go 2 miles into the sky like a vulture, but if your business is simply to look for a dead body on the ground, then what is the glory of going 2 miles high in the sky? Your business is the same as a tiger on the ground. You may think I'm very elevated, I'm very advanced, I'm high, I'm getting higher and higher, but actually your aim is the same sense gratification that any other animal has. So if our only aim is to gratify the senses, as Krishna says, achintyam aparayam cha palayantam upashitya kama papoga paramam etavam iti nischita. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. So modern civilization was very proud of all its economic development because they have no memory. Their memory has been taken away by illusion. Therefore, they can't remember how much, for instance, in Europe, people suffered. after World War One. World War One was suffering. Some was suffering, and it wasn't. There was suffering before World War One. So many wars were going on before World War One. And then after World War One, there's so much suffering, so much economic problems, so many social problems. And then we thought, well, now we're free from all those things. And then there was a crash in 1999, or 2009, I think it crashed, or 1999, I can't, in 2009, the war on terrorism. Now we have another crash here. And it's not, we may think, well, we may have our theories why it's happened, but it's happening because of people's sinful activities. Therefore, they're getting their sinful reactions. And unless they change their sinful activities, and the main sinful activity, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, is not accepting their position as subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't accept my word for it. I'll quote it from the Bhagavad Gita. Forgetting oneself as the eternal supreme servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the greatest violation of God's law. So go out and tell that people. In quote from Bhagavad Gita. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Thus, when it is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality, to be fully engaged in his transcendent loving service with determination. So unless we act as Krishna's servant, then we're doomed. We may try very hard for our economic development to achieve sense gratification, but that unless one serves Krishna, either through Varnashram, which is practically impossible in this age, or through the chanting of the holy names, which is the only means, according to the Brihad Narayana Naradiya Purana, then one is simply doomed to simply chewing the chewed, trying to get some happiness from the material world, and finding that there's less and less happiness as we try and squeeze it out of the sugar cane, which has been squeezed again and again and again, has been the cows. When the vendor of the sugar cane, he takes the sugar cane and he presses it in the sugar cane juice machine and gets out all the juice and then throws on the street the dried out sugar cane. And the cows come along and pick it up and put it in their mouths and chew it again and again, trying to get a little sugar, whatever's left. And then when he can't find any sugar left, he spits it out. And the next cow comes along and says, well, there's some sugar cane, let's try it. And he picks it up and chews it again and again. And the whole day, all the cows are coming in and chewing it and chewing it. That's where punak punas charavitat charavinana, chewing the chewed, comes from. Practical example of the cow chewing the chewed up sugar cane juice, sugar cane stalk. So that's material civilization. Same thing over and over again, simply increasing their lust, their anxiety to enjoy. And of course there's some enjoyment, but that enjoyment is when in the midst of the experience of sense gratification, then the desire to enjoy goes down for momentarily, and then it comes up with a vengeance again. Material happiness is just like pouring ghee on a fire to put it out. Even if the fire is practically put out, if you throw some ghee on that ashes, it'll probably blaze up again, not go out. So Maya says to the living entity, the reason why you're suffering is because you're not enjoying. She never says the reason why you're suffering is because you're trying to enjoy. And people think, yes, this is a nice philosophy. I should try to enjoy. And then I won't suffer. And then they try to enjoy and they suffer more. And they get confused. And Maya says, well, you're just not enjoying enough. That's why. It's just not intense enough. And so they try again and again and again. And because there's no restriction in modern civilization, therefore they go crazy. And then they go to the psychiatrist and they say, well, the reason why you're not happy, you're not taking enough drugs. We got the perfect drugs for you. Do you want something from the blue bottle or the green bottle? Well, I have a green dress. Well, try out the green bottle. See what happens. If your teeth fall out, if your hair falls out, you go blind, then we have something in the blue in the red bottle for you. So this is people who have become crazy. They have lost their intelligence. And here Prahlad Maharaj is trying to give us some intelligence. That very nature of trying to enjoy the material nature means that one is trying to steal Krishna's property, and the material nature will come and punish one. Not only by putting one in the bodily concept of life, but by torturing one in the bodily concept of life with lust, anger, greed, illusion, forgetfulness, bewilderment of memory, and then pushing one into lower and lower activities in the material energy. And if we don't believe what Prahlad Maharaj said, then good luck. Most people in this universe have not believed Prahlad Maharaj. This was spoken at least in this, if we accept that this was in this, this is at the beginning of this, the day of Brahma at least. And right now I think Brahma has been living, this day has been going on for at least 120 million years. So Prahlad Maharaj spoke this 120 millions of years ago, at least, and obviously not everyone accepts it. And those who have accepted, we can't ask them, because they already went back to Godhead. So we should accept it. Even if no one else accepts it, we should try to accept it, if we're disappointed that not everyone agrees, well, the next time Prahlad Maharaj comes back, and the next day of Brahma, he's going to speak the same thing again. And people who got left behind still won't believe him. So we're very slow learners in this universe. But we should try to take advantage of these good instructions and try to perform devotional service and give up this desire to, outside of Krishna consciousness, try to become happy by economic development for sense gratification. There's nothing wrong with economic development. There's nothing wrong with sense gratification, but the principle of religiosity has to be there, or else one is simply a failure. And the whole aim should be for liberation from the bodily concept of life, not greater and greater absorption in it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? If there's no questions, everyone should just meditate on this. Because after we walk out, we think, wow, what was that all about? That was a bad dream. What was they talking about? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.